Every day we celebrate you, Jesus. Every day it's Christmas, Lord God. We thank you for all you've done for us. We thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, born unto us, and all he did for us, taking all the sin, all the guilt, all the shame, healing us body and in our mind, our heart, bringing relationships together. We love you, Jesus. Be glorified, be honored this day, every day, and in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So it's the Christmas story. And that was so, I lived in Oklahoma for 11 years, loved it. All my roommates but one were from Texas, and then my husband. So I love me some Western. I just really want to thank Heather's creative genius. Can we be able to, she's not going to, I'd like to clap for Heather because she put a lot of time into that. And the girl can preach too, let me tell you. So thank you so much. And Miss Stacy, who's roundabout, man, thank you guys for everything you guys have done to make this day so special. All right, we're going to jump into the Christmas story. And Luke chapter 2, everybody want to open up Luke chapter 2, 1 through 18. And in this story, there's some hidden treasures in there. So I want to jump kind of into the middle of it. And I want to say this, in the Bible, everything that is recorded in the Bible is significant. So, you know, the Bible could have been like this long, and that would have been really hard to pass down. So, you know, if you open up your Bible or your cell phone, sometimes it's about this big. So they could only fit so much in there. So if 2,000 years later, something's written in there, it's significant. And sometimes we just miss that, right? Because we don't know all the details. Things are lost in translation. So I want to talk about some significance within the culture and within the original meaning that is really profound to the Christmas story today. So one little profound thing about the Christmas story is it took place in the little town of where? Bethlehem. Okay, so we're going to start out Luke chapter 2, 1 through 4. It says, at that time, the Roman emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. All returned to their own ancestral town to register for the census. Because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go back to Bethlehem, his hometown, David's ancient home. How many people besides myself swore that they would never go back to their hometown? And here we are, right? Listen, I love York. We have great people in York. We don't have palm trees, but we have great people. So, I want you to think of this. Now, when I did a little research into the census, this was not a common thing. This was actually a very abnormal thing that was going on because the entire Roman Empire was massive at that point, right? It had kind of taken on a lot more land than before, and they needed extra, what, money to maintain that land and do what they wanted to do. So they're like, how many people can we get some money out of, right? All right, so it inconvenienced everyone because the entire Roman Empire was on the move. Can you imagine the like all of the United States moving at this same time? Because everyone had to go back to what? The hometown, their ancestral hometown. So there was a lot of moving and shaking going on, and it was inconvenient. Anybody have to do a business trip that was just really inconvenient, like the worst possible timing? Maybe your wife was super prego with, oh, the Son of God, okay? So I want to say this, you know, God had a plan. How many people know that God's going to move a lot of people and a lot of mountains to get what he needs to do in your life to happen? So when things are inconvenient, when things are uncomfortable, when change is coming and all I wanna do is complain about it, besides myself, hello, maybe, just maybe, ask God, hey, are you trying to move me into a place of inconvenience, into uncomfortableness to fulfill my destiny? Or even how about this, God fulfills the destiny of the team he places you on. Hey, the fam, our friends, our community, this church. So are you going to let him inconvenience you? Are you going to let him do something uncomfortable to do what he wants to do in his greater plan? Not even my message, but we'll leave it at that. I think how Mary felt. Pregnant, 9 months pregnant. Okay, I was doing that, okay? It was just, you know, bumpy drives were rough, okay? Like that big bump at the end of the parking lot, ba-bump, I was like, that's fantastic, okay? She's probably on the back of a donkey for 90 miles for this emperor's brilliant idea on how to get more money out of you, right? So I'm just saying, next time things are uncomfortable, next time they're inconvenient, next time you are complaining about change, go, God, are you trying to do something in me? Are you trying to move me somewhere to do something greater? Back into the story. So verse 5, Joseph took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and was now expecting a child. All right, so verse 6 through 7. And while they were there, so they get to Bethlehem, right, his hometown, the time came for her baby to be born, and she gave birth to the firstborn son, the Son of God. She wrapped him, now this is very significant, snugly in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no longer lodging available at the inn, right? There wasn't room for them. So this is extra inconvenient, extra uncomfortable, but God had something far greater in his plan of where the Son of God was gonna be born. All right, so this term swaddling clothes, the Greek, so I'm probably gonna mispronounce this, but the Greek word for swaddling clothes is sparengo. And it describes actually bandages or strips of material used to wrap little baby lamb legs. This will all tie in. So the fact that the Son of God was gonna be born in a manger, which was a stable, okay, which was where they had a lot of animals and things like that. And back then, the mangers, wood was very scarce. So these mangers were actually built in caves. And you know that the little feeding trough, that's where they laid the baby lambs. That's where the Son of God was laid. And it was actually not this really warm, cozy thing of beautiful wood like a cradle we have, but it was carved of stone. So they're in this cold, damp cave surrounded by animals, and the only place you could lay your kid is this feeding trough made of stone. What is this speaking of? The humility of the Son of God. He's humble, and I want to say this, and I'm going to dive into this. The way Jesus first appeared on the earth was very prophetic, or in other words, symbolic. It foreshadowed something of God's greater purpose and plan for his Son coming. So I'm going to dig more into this story of the little podunk town of Bethlehem. So Bethlehem at that time was about 1,000 residents. I did a little searching online. Abbottstown was the size of Bethlehem. You know, it was like a drive-through town. Maybe stop and get some ice cream because I'm always stopping to get ice cream in a drive-through town. But tiny little place, all right? And the only thing that put Bethlehem on the map was not the ice cream joint, but it was the fact that there happened to be one famous person that had previously been born in Bethlehem. Okay, and that very famous person was King David, the first king of Israel. He was infamous, he was handsome, he was ruddy, he was a giant killer, you know, the whole David and Goliath thing. He was a worshiping rock star warrior guy, and all the girls had crushes on him and they sang songs about him. I mean, he was that guy, all right? It also reminded me of that guy in junior high because a long time ago in a fire, anybody remember Tiger Beat magazine? Hi, I'm like 44, okay. Anybody remember Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Jonathan Taylor Thomas, this came to mind. I didn't have to search it out. I happen to know was born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, because I was crushing real hard. And I found out later that he only grew to the tall height of 5'5", so I had to get over my crush of Jonathan Taylor Thomas because this wasn't going to happen, so I moved on to taller crushes. Brad Green over there, not born in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, but tall, ruddy, rock star, kickboxing warrior king. Yes, I am married to that man over there. So I'll sing songs about him and not sing them to you. But that was the only reason why Bethlehem was on the map. Because who? David, rock star warrior king, was born there. All right, so let's get back to what Bethlehem, Israel, not Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, a very small farming community, the middle of nowhere, 1,000 residents driving through like Abbottstown, right? And the only thing it was famous for was the first king of Israel being born there. But God had bigger plans for little old Bethlehem because he had another king that needed to be born, the greatest king that had ever walked the face of the earth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He had a plan. And this was prophesied, and this was foretold by three different prophets, actually more so, tons in the book of Isaiah. But Micah chapter 5, verse 2 says this, "But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel whose origins are in the distant past," David, right, "will come from you on my behalf." In Matthew 2, verses 1 through 6, remember when the Magi, or the three wise men, I talked about it last year, when they came into town, they said, "Hey, where's the king of the Jews going to be born?" And they're like, "This is awkward and inconvenient because we got a king Hey, can you guys look back in the scriptures? King Herod was like this. So he gets his scribes and his priests and they're digging around and they find the prophetic words in Micah 5:2 that said, hey, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. So everyone's looking at little Bethlehem, okay? All right, so one of my favorite prophets that talks a lot about the birth of the Lord Jesus, and I love praying through the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 through 7, and also Samuel prophesied, and so did Jeremiah. But Isaiah said this, for unto us a child is born. We remember this Christmas card, right? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. So I remember to say this, there's a lot going on in the world right now. I'm a pastor. I hear about the weights that people carry. And God's always talking to me about the weights and the stress that I need to not carry. So the weight of the world is not supposed to rest on our shoulders. That's why we have breakdowns. We were not created to carry it. Who is created to carry the weight of the world, the weight of our lives, the stress, the pain? Jesus Christ himself. And I love to read that scripture to remind myself when I'm running in circles and stressing. So it goes on to say this, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end on the throne of David. And over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forward and forevermore. So the Bible is prophesying, you know, sometimes like hundreds of years in advance, that the Son of God is going to be born, what? The little town of Bethlehem, of the line, the family tree of David, and he was going to be the best thing that has ever happened to the world. The Prince of Peace, Mighty God. And this was significant, because remember we're going back to little old Bethlehem. What also was significant about Bethlehem was this, were the sheep that were actually born in Bethlehem. So this is interesting. So lambs that were born and raised in Bethlehem were used for temple sacrifice. So you know that book of rules in the Old Testament, and you're like, why are all these rules? Because God has this bigger plan. And they said this, so Jerusalem was where the temple was at, and they had to provide a sacrifice of these pure, spotless, perfect lambs. And how many say it's hard to be perfect? I'm not perfect. I stink at it. I'm not even going to try. But these lambs had to be perfect lambs, and two lambs a day had to be sacrificed in the temple. And during certain festivals like Passover, I read that there was like 260,000 lambs that were just being sacrificed because everybody's sacrificing these lambs. Where are they getting all these lambs from? Well, the ones that were going to Jerusalem, the word of God had said this in Leviticus, have to come from a certain radius, and they were coming from little old Bethlehem, the sacrificial lambs. It's all starting to kind of together here. So do you ever wonder why that the angels appeared to these particular shepherds? I mean, there were shepherds all over Israel. There were shepherds all over the world. Very, very common trade, you know, like your modern day mechanic. Like we know a lot of them. I got some in my family. All right. So there's a reason why these particular shepherds. All right. So these particular shepherds in Bethlehem that raised the sacrificial lambs that were destined for what? Sacrifice in Jerusalem, only 5 miles away. They came from the tribe of Levi. The Levites were the people that worked in the churches, in the temples. They were the priests. They were the ones that were serving the people and worshiping unto the Lord. And the shepherds came from that family tree, okay? And their jobs, these shepherds, they had the pressure of raising perfect lambs. Okay, all you parents out there, good luck. My kids are not perfect. We found out my son's about to turn two. Getting a little baby brother, we are not perfect. We are having fits all the time, about to lose my mind and get my roots filled in on Wednesday. But I'm just saying, all right? So pressure to raise kids, okay, they have to, pressure to raise perfect little lambs. And how many people know the farther you travel, the more the bumps and bruises happen. Like my kid has like, I woke up this morning, we found two bruises on his head. I don't even know how that happened. The more you move, right? So the reason why the book said this, hey, they need to come from Bethlehem. It's only 5 miles away. There's less likely what injury along the way. They're going to stay spotless. They're going to stay perfect for the sacrifice. All right. So these shepherd priests, essentially, they also had the job of maintaining a clean stable because the lamb had to be perfect and clean. So they had to kind of keep, you know, they had to kind of shovel things out and keep it pretty clean here. All right. And once again, the lambs had to come from this region. So the firstborn male lambs around the region of Bethlehem, if they were born there, they were considered holy and set apart, and they could be sacrificed in Jerusalem. I'm going to keep repeating it because let's just be real. It's a little warm in here, and we're just awake. Okay, here we go. All right. After the lambs were born, they were wrapped in swaddling clothes. And these clothes were actually the priest's old garments, you know, the priests, okay? And they'd tear up these little clothes and they would, what, swaddle the lamb's legs so they wouldn't be injured, so they wouldn't get bumped around. And as soon as the lamb was born, they were put in the manger, that stone feeding trough. And then the priest would come and inspect them to say if they were perfect, if they were suitable, if they were spotless, if they were blemishless, they then could be sacrificed for the sins of the people. All tying together to the story. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 18, the significance of why these local shepherds, God went way out of his way to talk about his son with them. So the night that there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding the flocks of sheep, suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angels assured them, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news." Good news, good news. The gospel is the almost too good to be true news. You ever hear news that sounds so good that you think it's made up on, you know, social media these days? All right. The good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. You will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So the angel of the Lord appeared to shepherds that their whole job, they were the experts in what? Raising and identifying spotless lambs that could only be used for sacrifice in the temple to take away the sins of the people temporarily. You know, you have to take out your trash all the time, right? Where it starts to stink. Wouldn't it be great if someone just deleted all your trash? Like, you just put it in the little tub there and it just would go. We love taking out the trash in my family. It all smells super awesome right now with two under two. So, I mean, it'd be great if it just disappeared. They had to sacrifice a lamb. They had to take out the trash inconveniently, okay? Right? You had to find the perfect guy, right, to take the trash out, and it always stank. My trash always stinks, right? Is there a perfect person in here? Your trash stinks. We stink. We're humans. We mess up. Come on, raise your hand if you stink sometimes. Am I a jerk? Did you cut two people off on the way over here? I don't know. Hopefully you didn't give them any hand gestures. We need a Savior because we stink. Not in my notes, but it sounded fun right now and everybody just woke up. Okay, so the lambs, they're sacrificing these lambs all the time because people stink. Stink is the only word I can say from the pulpit and be recorded. We stink. But it wasn't kind of frustrating that you always had to go out and buy a lamb, find this perfect lamb, and you had to get it through all these things and jump through all these hoops and go all the way to Jerusalem, and they didn't have Uber back then, okay? Just so I wouldn't feel so bad about the fact that I stink. How many people have felt shame for their sins and their shortcomings? I have. How many people have been harassed by thoughts of how bad I stink, how much I'm not good enough, how much I've hurt myself and I've hurt other people. And now, wait, I got to go find a lamb, a perfect lamb, a baby lamb that's miles away, and I got to go pay for him and go have him sacrificed for my sins. It's exhausting. God had a greater plan. There was a lamb that he had marked to be our once and for all time delete from all your sins and all your stink. It was almost too good to be true news. So he had to get some people to legitimize the news. So he looked for shepherds that were experts in what? Raising spotless lambs, identifying spotless, perfect lambs for sacrifice for the sins of the people. Bang, those shepherds. Here we are. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 18. That night, there were shepherds, these special shepherds, these priestly shepherds, staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. What? And they're freaking out. They're terrified. Because angels, I'm just a little old mechanic. I'm just like a little shepherd. Why are you talking to me right now? Don't you have better things to do? Nope, I have a plan for you because you happen to be an expert in lambs. And they'll listen to you because you're an expert in lambs. I don't listen to anybody that looks at my car. I want to know, do you fix these cars? Do you know these cars? Like, you know, are you an expert in the SUV here? Okay. They were experts. And they gave them what? Two signs to authenticate they had found the Messiah Savior. And what were those two signs? It was a tailor-made message for these particular shepherds that were the experts in identifying lambs. They said, number one, you're going to find the Son of God in the little podunk town of Bethlehem. The only place in the entire world where you could get sacrificial sheep to take away the sins of people, temporarily take out the trash for the week. Bummer. Or in this case, it was twice a day. Because how many people know we stink more than twice a day? I mess up more than twice a day. They had to sacrifice two lambs a day in the temple. He's going to be found in Bethlehem. He's going to be found in a manger, a little stable, right, in a feeding trough. And he's going to be wrapped up in the swaddling clothes that you normally wrap the lamb in. Not just any lamb. The holy, set-apart, perfect lamb that was going to temporarily take away the sins of the people. But I have my son foreshadowing that he would take away the sins of the world forever and ever and ever. Suddenly the angels were joined by a vast host of others because all of a sudden this is sounding good. This is real good news. This is jump up and shout. They just paid off my mortgage. I've won the lottery and like a cruise for life. We jump up, we shout, we sing praises because guess what? My stink is gone forever. The armies of heavens praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. And when the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Now they're just what? On the outskirts. They're in the countryside, so it's not too far. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us. This is really good news. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby, the Son of God, lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel has said to them about this child, not just any child, the Lamb of God. And all who heard the shepherd's story, because these were legit guys, these were the experts in identifying sacrificial lambs. The Lamb of God was born to what? Take away permanently the sins of the world. That's good news. And that's why everybody was singing. And that's why we sing today. And those Christmas cards, that's why we send them. All right, so these shepherds became the first evangelists that got to tell the good news of Jesus Christ coming to the whole world. The Lamb of God had been born. So the way Jesus first appeared to earth symbolically foretold of his ultimate purpose, which was to be what? The Lamb of God. Now, scripture has a lot to say about the Lamb of God. I'm gonna just take a couple here. John 1:29 and verse 36. This is John, the cousin of Jesus Christ, the Baptist, John the Baptist. And he's out in the wilderness, and the first time he sees Jesus, he says what? Jesus was what? It says this, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. Permanently. Past, present, future. That's good news. And then Peter, Jesus' best friend, the apostle Peter, says this in 1 Peter 1:19. He identified Jesus as the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Revelations 5:12, John, another one of Jesus's best friends, he knew what he was talking about. In his revelation, he says this, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. I like those songs. But man, this is really good news. This is joyful. Get up on your rooftop and shout. The Savior of the world died for me. He took the stink. He took the sin. He took the shame of my mess. And it wasn't a light thing for this beautiful baby. This beautiful, perfect baby that didn't do anything to anyone his whole life. He lived this life that we couldn't live. He didn't sin. He didn't mess up. He didn't hurt anyone else.
And that lamb, that beautiful baby, was destined to die on the cross for our sins. And not just a quick, painless death, a horrific death. The Romans picked the worst, most painful death. It was known at that day, and it was shameful. It was public. In front of his mom. That was her baby boy. Behold the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. It all made sense later, didn't it? But the first people that figured it out were those little shepherds, the dirty job from Podunk, Israel, Bethlehem, right? Because they were experts in a really humble job. How many people have a humble job? Hello, York County. We are number one in Pennsylvania for industry. We were hard-working people. We do not mind getting our hands dirty. We don't mind pulling by the side of the road and helping change someone's tires. I'm just saying, it's part of our culture. We serve people, right? Come on, York County. Most of our jobs are serving people. I worked in customer service a really long time. I still work in customer service. These servants, these humble servants that had the dirty job of the whole family. Everybody else got to be the cool priest. You had to start out at the bottom of the barrel. What? Taking care of little dirty sheep, right? And he said, hey, they're important. I'm going to have them identify my son to be the Lamb of God. And I'm going to let you preach it first. So York County, I think we can preach, right? You got dirty hands, you got a hard job. Jesus said you could be his preacher. Isaiah 53, 4 through 7. This is what he did at the cross. You know, that whole Lamb's Book of Life has said when we give our lives to Jesus, our names are written for all eternity in the Lamb's Book of Life. But what about earth? You know, heaven sounds great, but I'm kind of caught up down here, and this is really hard. And life is really painful, and people betray you and stab you in the back and abandon you and hurt you and curse you. What about this painful life right now? Lamb of God, I'm happy about your book for all eternity, but eternity feels pretty far off. What are you doing now? This is good news, too. It says, it was our weaknesses. Raise your hand if you have weaknesses. I need him every day. It says, he carried our weaknesses. It was our sorrows. How many people have pain and grief and loss? You might still be grieving. I've lost loved ones. I lost my dad way too young. It hurts. But with my weaknesses, what I can't do in my own strength, with the pain that hurts, it says this, that he what carried it. He took it. It weighed him down. That's what it says. He carried it. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. The weight of the world is on whose shoulders? His. He was pierced for our rebellion. How many people stink and just kind of break the rules sometimes and hurt people and hurt themselves? He took the pain of my punishment. It says he was crushed for our sins, our shortcomings. Sin simply means to miss the mark. All you archers out there, remember we take a shot, we aim at that little target, we miss the target every day, and I hurt people and I hurt myself. I don't get out of bed thinking, how many people can I hurt today? How much can I destroy my life today? But it happens. Sin means I miss the mark. I tried to do right, but I just keep messing up. And it haunts you. And he says that, I took it. I took that crushing weight of all of our sin and shortcomings. It says he was beaten so we could be whole. The brokenness of our lives, the brokenness of the heart, the brokenness of our relationships, the brokenness of our mental health, he came to heal. And he was whipped so we could be healed. That's a done deal. Did you catch those English teachers? I stink at, like, you know, all the grammar stuff, but that's a past tense thing, right? Somebody say past, present, verb, this. I don't remember. I don't remember those little, that's a past tense. So I could be, we could be healed, done. The finished work at the cross. The Lord said he laid on him the sins of all of us, and he was oppressed and treated harshly. He was spit upon. He was slandered. Yet he never said a word. That's hard, man. People talk bad about you. I want to defend myself. And he was, what it says this, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He took it. He took the punch. He took the bullet. I wish it would have been that painless and quick. It wasn't. It was brutal. He was tortured. Isaiah 52, the last scripture, says this, that he was tortured beyond human recognition. He didn't even look human when they were done with him. And they put him out in front of his mom and spit on him. And I bet she was thinking about that baby in the manger. What did my baby do to deserve that? God had a plan. And if I don't believe in him, and if I don't give my life to him, that whole plan was in vain. It was for nothing. And if you don't believe that he died and was crucified and tortured to take away your pain, to cover your shame, to heal you, then it was pointless. So Sherry, what's this whole message about, and the whole Christmas card thing? The Christmas card is the book of life. And everything he did, he was born unto us, perfect, spotless, destined to take the sin of the world, to take our shame, to take our guilt, to take our suffering, to take our grief, to take our heartbreak, to take my shortcomings, to take up all the mess ups, all the feeling of I'm not good enough, all of our weaknesses. And he took it on himself. He took the weight of it. It is crushing. If you are dealing with a breakdown, it's because you were not meant to carry it. So stop trying to be perfect. Stop trying to be good enough. He was good enough. He was perfect. So the weight of that doesn't rest on us anymore. And he made it really simple. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I'll leave you with this. Jesus said this, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Is it that simple? Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. It's really painful. Life is really hard, and it doesn't look like that Christmas card. It looks like the Lamb of God who was butchered and tortured and spit upon and took everything that we deserved and everything that we went through. So we don't have to pay that price anymore. The Christmas card is the book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And he made it really simple. I don't have to pass it around for everyone to sign. It's really simple. Do you believe in the simplicity of the gospel, the crazy, wild, almost too be good, almost too good to be true news? That's what the gospel means. And he said, you know what? Just put your faith in me. And if you believe it in your heart and you say that with your mouth, I write your name in this book and you get adopted into God's family. I have people that are adopted in my family. I have beautiful nieces that are adopted. They're my blood. Don't you try to tell me otherwise. They're adopted. When we give our lives to Jesus so simply and just say, Jesus, I believe in you. My faith is in you. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. I give you my life. We become adopted into his family and we spend eternity with him. But I'll say this, don't just leave your eyes on the side of eternity. He also did it to take the weight and the weaknesses, the sin, the shame, the guilt, to heal our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our relationship. That's the gospel and that's the Christmas story. So keep reading the rest of the story and don't just stop in Luke chapter 2 once a year. Let's pray. If you guys just bow your heads, close your eyes, because sometimes life can be distracting, and that's why I ended 5 minutes early, so no one's going to be distracted. I just want everyone just to quiet your heart. Turn off the crock pot in your mind that you're thinking about back at home right now. And I'll just say this, If you're with me and you just want to thank Jesus for all he did, you can just say it with me right now. Jesus, thank you for being born unto us, the spotless Lamb of God. Thank you for dying for me. You were raised from the dead for me to give me a new life. My faith is in you. My heart is yours. I give you the weight of the world, the stress, the pain, the sorrow, my sins, my shortcomings. And I leave those things with you. And I'm resurrected to a new life with you. I'm yours. Amen. Merry Christmas. Stand up. Man, Jesus is so good, and I love this family. I missed you guys. Yeah, it's good to be back. This is family. If you don't have one, there's a lot of people you can be adopted in right now. And if you just said that prayer, your family got really, really big. So please meet them. Have a wonderful holiday.